be finding Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Jeremiah, it's a good name, Jeremiah chapter 31. And while you're finding Jeremiah 31, now I will have it on the screen here for you in just a second, so you'll be able to see it. While you're finding that, let me just sort of, I've got this drawn just a little different. Obviously, we've already been through the Edenic covenant. A covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. In other words, God is almost like shaking hands with an individual. God came down, made an agreement in the Garden of Eden. Do this, do this. They eat thereof, you should surely die. Those kind of things. And then he made one with Adam. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and this, that, and the other. He made one with Noah. Had the rainbow involved. Made a covenant with Abraham. Called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. Leave your father's house. I'm going to make you a great nation. There's where the Jewish people started with the Abrahamic covenant. And then with that people, we had Moses come on the scene in Exodus 19. And with that people, the Jewish nation, God has to give them a law to go by. And so that's where you have in Exodus 19. Exodus 19. He makes a covenant and gives them those Ten Commandments. Not only is it engulfed with the Ten Commandments, but also the tabernacle and all of those, civil, moral law, all those kind of things. We've already been over that. And then with that, God's going to set up a kingdom with those people, with a king. Notice, King David. Now, I've had some people want to argue about, well, the first king of Israel was King Saul. Well, that was the people's choice. That wasn't God's choice. God didn't make a covenant with Saul. He made it with David. King David, so on and so forth. Now, we're down to the new covenant. The reason I've got it drawn this way, and I'm going to point out some things, and I'm going to make a try. These are difficult things to see. But I'm going to try my best to explain it to you and show it to you in a way that hopefully you'll be able to see it. Some of you may have seen this before. That's fine. But you've got the birth of Christ, obviously. That's why they call it the first coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. You'll notice I've got the 69th week down here. In the book of Daniel, if you were here through our Daniel study, you will find that there are 70 weeks of Daniel determined upon thy people, the nation of Israel. 70 weeks has nothing to do with the church, has nothing to do with the body of Christ, all of us. Has to do with the nation of Israel. Jesus Christ dies in the 69th week. That means there's one more week left. That week, 7 days in a week. But a week in the Bible is 7 years. So the reason I've got this drawn this way, you got the cross, 7 years tribulation, the second coming of Christ, and then the new covenant starts with God's people, the nation of Israel, the kingdom, the birth, the cross, the second coming. You'll notice I've got the church is not up here. The rapture of the church is not up here. Why? Because in the Old Testament, you won't find the church. You won't find the rapture mentioned in the Old Testament other than typology. Why? Because, behold, I show you a mystery. It was hidden in the Old Testament. The church, which is his body, the Jew and Gentile in one body, was a mystery to those in the Old Testament. If you'd have asked Abraham, said, hey, there's a church age coming, he would have had no clue what you're talking about. Moses, David, Noah, the rest of them, hadn't have a clue what you're talking about when we are referring to the church and the rapture. It's not up here, but it will be in just a minute. Hang on. It's not here. Why? This is the way the Jews saw it. Prove my point. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. You don't have to go there, but Isaiah 9:6. We quote it during Christmas time. Now watch. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah saw all three of those events together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Well, we know there's 2,000 years between the son is given and the government being on his shoulders. There's 2,000 years. What is that 2,000 years? The church age. Isaiah didn't know it. The way Isaiah saw it in the Old Testament, child is born, son is given, government, kingdom. He saw it all together. So God makes a new covenant with the nation of Israel. Now, let me say this. There is some discrepancy. The new covenant is not the New Testament. And the New Testament is not the new covenant. Covenant and testament are two totally different things. You know how I know? They're spelt different. I've heard people say, well, the covenant and the testament, that's here's where the new covenant starts at the cross, where the New Testament starts. Two totally different things. A covenant is agreement between two parties or more, right? A testament ain't got anything to do with two parties or more. It's only God. There are several covenants, but only two testaments, old, new. A testament has to require blood and death. Noahic covenant didn't require either one, just a rainbow. You see, there is a difference in covenant and testament. I'll give you, for instance, we call it the New Testament. I'll give you some more of that here in just a minute, but the New Testament. What is a last will and testament of a person? Because they have died. And that last will and testament has nothing to do with an agreement between two parties. It is a testament of one individual and one individual only. Whenever you pass away, you didn't make an agreement with nobody. This is what I want to happen. Jesus Christ, when he dies on the cross, the death of the testator, this is what I want to happen through his blood, so on and so forth. So there is a difference in covenant and testament. Don't let anybody, because what happens if you make testament and covenant the same, then you enter into replacement or covenant theology, replacement theology, and all that stuff is a bunch of garbage. And that means that the church has replaced the nation of Israel. God will never do anything else with the nation of Israel, and he is dealing with the church, and we have replaced Israel. It's not true. You got Israel, you got the church. Two different individuals or groups of people. Covenant, testament, two different things altogether. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, and let's read right here in Jeremiah 31. And we'll begin at verse 31. And let's see what this thing entails and engulfs. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. I think I've got it up here for you. Let's see if this thing is going to act right tonight. All right, here we go. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with who? The church, the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah. Now you say, well, why is it two? If you remember, the nation of Israel split. The house of Israel is the 10 northern tribes. The house of Judah was the two southern tribes. 12 tribes, 10 went north, 2 went south, and that's why you have the split there. But I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Watch. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Remember that? Moses led his God's people out of the nation of the Egyptian bondage, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant. All right, here we go. Here's the new covenant. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now, you say, well, why in the world would he tell, don't teach every man his neighbor and all this to know the Lord? Watch. In the kingdom, he's already wrote it on their hearts and in their minds. There's no reason to tell. You know, like today, we tell people about the Lord. Here, everybody's going to know it. That's what that means. Saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will, watch, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Okay, so part of this covenant, they're going to get forgiveness of sin. Now, this is where it all just gets real confusing. The way we have right now, I want you to forget for just a few minutes, forget about how God saved your soul and forgave you of your sin and all of that, okay? That's an individual thing. Right now, where I stand, I'm saved. My sins have already been forgiven. He will not, he does not remember my sin against me. But for the nation of Israel as a whole, their sins has not been forgiven yet. I'll prove my point. Hang on. That's part of the new covenant. I'm going to forgive your sins, and I will remember your or iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, all right, that's Old Testament. Let's go some New Testament, and let's see if we can see if Hebrews, whoever the writer of Hebrews was, let's see if Hebrews can shed some light on it. Watch, Hebrews 10. It's almost like you were reading Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. But whoever wrote Hebrews read Jeremiah 31, and this covenant has to do with forgiving their sins, them being in the land, and all of that. The new covenant has to do with the nation of Israel, has nothing to do with the church. Now, let's see. Let me see if I can give you an example of this. Because this is, like I said, this is where it gets confusing. We're talking about a nation being saved, not an individual. An individual gets saved, that's totally different. We're talking about a nation. Let me try to get your mind wrapped around it this way. Let's think about America. Let's think about America. We were born the first time in what, 1776? Independence. We got our independence. We were born as a nation the first time. Let's just say tomorrow. Let's just say tomorrow. Since 1776, America's been praying, God save our nation. God save our nation. God, would you please come and be the ruler over America? We're tired of these. We're tired of following these politicians. We got the best money can buy. And God, we want you to come and save our nation. And tomorrow God comes, Jesus Christ comes, and he sets down. He goes to Washington, D.C. And just like he turned over the money changers in when he went into the temple, he goes into Washington, I'm talking about cleans house. Republicans, Democrats, Demorats, and the Green Party, and the who got loose, and all that, cleans them all out. He comes into the Congress, he goes into the White House and sets down in the Oval Office, and he says, this is no longer a democracy, this is a theocracy, and you'll do what I say. That's when America would be born again. Was born the first time, 1776, and then the Lord comes and sets down in Washington, takes over, and that's when we'd be born again as a nation. With me? Now, let's turn that over to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was born the first time when God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Take the blood, put it on the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So all the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, walked across on dry ground. That's when the nation was born the first time. Since the Egyptian bondage, since Moses delivered them out of the hand of the Egyptians, that's when the nation was born. Ever since then, they've been praying, God, send us a deliverer. God says, I'm going to. No, we want a king. We want a king to rule over us. Hang on, I'm going to give you one. No, we want to pick our own. God says, all right, help yourself. They picked King Saul. Remember? That didn't work out too good. I'm trying to fast forward the story, but it didn't work out too good. God says, I told you I got one coming. He's a little shepherd boy. Just like the other one, it's coming. The Lord is my... Hallelujah. I know you're not supposed to get excited on Wednesday night. But he's coming. He's going to be a shepherd boy. And he's going to be born in Bethlehem. I'm going to send you a king. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And he's going to be a shepherd boy. Somebody was born in Bethlehem. The Lord is my shepherd. John 10, he's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to send you a king and a deliverer. Well, guess what? They didn't obey. Remember what it says? They didn't obey the first the covenant back here by disobedience. God scattered them. They went into, what was it? Babylonian captivity, Daniel in the lion's den, three Hebrew boys. You with me? Ever since Daniel, they've had a Gentile nation ruling over them. Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, Rome, so on and so forth. Rome was over them when Jesus was born. Remember? Crucified. Who crucified him? Romans. Pilate. Romans over Jews, suppressing. Ever since they got delivered out of Egypt, I'm going somewhere, hang on, trying to explain it as best as I can. They're saying, God, see, the nation of Israel wasn't saying, send us a savior. Send us a king to deliver us from Caesar, from Pilate, from Biden, send us somebody to deliver our nation. So when Jesus came, I'm here. What'd Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's within reach. Repent, John the Baptist. Repent, the kingdom. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. It's all about a kingdom and a king. Now, let's look, let me see if I got to, All right. We got the birth. He's been born. 69th week. Jesus is, fast forward the story. The Jews. This is not our king. Our king's going to be better than this. This is a boy who's born in the manger. Don't even know who his daddy was. Some people say Joseph. He claims to be the son of God. This ain't our king. We're looking for somebody totally different. Pilate, crucify Jesus. Give us Barabbas. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. We're still looking for the Messiah. With me? Now, I took pictures straight out of my Bible so you'll be able to see what I'm seeing. This is in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse number, Acts chapter 1, here we go. Jesus has been crucified, buried, and resurrected. Death, burial, resurrection. You with me? You know what the death, burial, and resurrection is? That's the gospel that saved us. Watch what the first thing is on the Jews' mind. Acts 1, and look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, those all Jews, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days thence. Chapter 2 is where the Holy Ghost comes down, day of Pentecost. With me? Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Y'all see that? Jesus had just died, buried, rose again. They didn't ask him, Lord, would you save us, save me? They said, is it time for the new covenant? Is it time to restore the... Verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Y'all see that? Now, this right here is Acts chapter number 2. Boy, ain't there a lot of false doctrine comes out of Acts 2. Fast forward in the story. Acts 2, ready? Okay, hang on. I got to do this right here so you get the picture. Jesus died. We got Acts chapter 1 right here. See that big 1 right there? Lord, will you restore the kingdom? Is it time? And the Lord says, would y'all get somewhere and sit down? Okay, now we're in what? 2? Let's see. Look at verse 14. But Peter standing up, he's fixing to preach, with the 11. The reason is 11. Judas has already betrayed the Lord, went out and killed himself, right? So we got 11 disciples, which are what nationality? Jews. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, who are they? Jews. And all you that dwell in Jerusalem, who are they? Be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And boy, he starts in Joel chapter number 2 and starts preaching unto them. Boy, he preaches all the way down to about verse 37. Let's get to the end of the sermon. I mean, Peter just preached at them. And did you know, hang on. Here's where you need to get this real good. In Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, he never one time said, you need to ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you. That wasn't on the menu. What'd he say? Now when they heard this, all them Jews, they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Y'all see that? It's a national thing. It's a Jewish thing. What shall we as a nation? Not what shall I do. What shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, be baptized. How many of y'all ever heard that verse right there? Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin. You should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, da-da-da-da. Ready? You want me to tell you all something very interesting? Verse 38 hadn't got anything to do with nobody sitting in this building. We just read it in 14. You men of Israel, you men of Judea, men and brethren, of Jerusalem. You with me? You say, why are you getting so excited? Because I wish, look, I don't know everything about the Bible, but the parts I do, I know pretty good. And I know how to read. Ain't got anything to do with you. It's what must we do? I'm fixing to show you. Repent, be baptized, and poor people start preaching that and say, repent, be baptized. Here we're see, all this kind of baloney and hogwash. That ain't even to you. All right, where's my next verse? Straight out of my Bible. Look here, straight out of my Bible. All right, this is chapter 3. This is chapter 3. And verse number, verse number 19. Repent ye therefore, talking to, look at verse 17. Now, brethren, that's Jewish brethren, all of this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be, future tense, read me. Future, your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Isaiah 28 verse 12 tells you when the times of refreshing is, and it's the second coming. Nation, what must we do? All right, nation of Israel, if you want something you can do, you need to repent and be converted so your sins will be blotted out. As a nation, when the times of refreshing shall come. All right, hang on. We're not done. Hang on. I think this is there. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive. He went up, Acts chapter 1, whom the heaven must be received until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Boy, there's when the nation of Israel gets born again. And it's all found in the first parts of the book of Acts. And that's where everybody goes. And they get as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. Now, yo, okay, you with me? It's 7 o'clock. We just read chapter 3. Chapter 1, Lord! You going to restore the kingdom yet? Boys, get somewhere and sit down. Peter's fixing to preach. Acts 2. What must we as a nation do to be saved? Repent. Be baptized. Every one of you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Da 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 da. What must we do? Chapter 3. Repent. Be converted. For your sins will be blotted out. All right, let's move on to chapter, let me move to chapter 7. Chapter 7, Stephen comes on the scene. He starts preaching. And in chapter number 7, Stephen starts preaching. And guess what they do to him when Stephen's finished preaching in Acts chapter number 7? They start gnawing on him with their teeth. I'm waiting on that to happen here someday. Anyway, and they start gnawing on him, and they pick up stones and stone and kill him. Now watch. Get this right here. God, on chapter 7, God says, Israel, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Israel, listen to me. Repent and be converted, because this thing right here is at hand, and your sins can be blotted out. Well, when they stoned Stephen, God says, okay, time out. Israel, go sit down. It's almost like playing a basketball game. Israel, time out. Give me a time. Israel, y'all come over here. Y'all sit down. Tired, y'all won't listen. You won't listen. You won't repent. Go sit down. Chapter 8 of Acts. You know who gets saved in chapter number 8? An Ethiopian eunuch. You know who he was? A Gentile. Acts chapter 9, the apostle Paul gets saved. In Acts chapter number 9, he's the apostle that wrote Romans Romans, Rome, Gentiles, all the way to Philemon. Romans through Philemon. Chapter 10 of Acts. A fellow by the name of Cornelius and his whole house. You know who he was? A Gentile. Ready? Hold on. Hold the phone. Let me fast forward to 16. Acts 16. Philippian jailer, Gentile. Paul and Silas in jail. If you get this right here, you're fixing to throw a songbook up into the fans and they ain't even on. Philippian, Gentile, jailer, Paul and Silas. Sirs, talking to Paul and Silas. Philippian jailer says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now let me show you what Peter say. The nation of Israel said, what must we do as a nation to be saved? Repent, be baptized, every one of you. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and da da da. 16, a Gentile individual says, sirs, what must I? I ain't worried about no we. I'm worried about I. What must I do to be saved? And Paul says something totally different than Peter did. Peter says, y'all need to repent. Philippians, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. See the difference? Nation, individual. Nation, individual. If you ever have somebody bring you to Acts chapter 2 to try to get you saved, you tell them you're in the wrong mailbox. That ain't even talking to me. I'm telling you, this right here will clear up your Bible. Now, y'all ready? I told you what I was fixing to do. Now watch. Watch this right here. After Acts 7, remember the Jews stoned Stephen. Well, God says, time out. Jews, get over and sit down. Get over and sit down. Well, if the Jews ain't playing ball right now, who is playing ball? The church gets inserted. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. There's the rapture. It's been a mystery all this whole time. Then, look at there. So all of that just got pushed out. Jews are in timeout. Here's your 7 years tribulation. And then here's the second coming of Christ. And there is your new covenant. And it starts here at the second coming. Guess what got inserted? You and me. Acts 7, time out. Jews, you won't listen. You're hard-headed. Go sit down. I got somebody that will listen. I got somebody I'm fixing to go to that will listen. You say, preacher, okay. Hang on. You don't. That's fine. I've done my homework. After the book of Acts, time out, Israel, go sit down. What's after the book of Acts? In your Bible, what comes after the book of Acts? Romans, bunch of Gentiles. Corinthians, bunch of Gentiles. Galatians, Gentiles. You with me? 13 of them, all the way to Philemon. Ready? Oh, my goodness. Then the church goes out. Anybody, what's the book after Philemon? Book after Philippians? Or Philemon, rather? Was a bunch of Hebrews. Okay, let me explain it to you. It's Ricky Ricardo. Let me explain it. Church goes out. All these Gentiles. Church, Gentile. Church leaves. Hebrew. Remember, right here, time out. Jews, go sit down. Church, come on. And the church has been playing ball for 2,000 years. And we're waiting on the buzzer to sound. We're waiting on the buzzer to sound. And as soon as the church is gone, God's going to say, all right, Israel, I got one more week that I need to deal with y'all. Remember? 70th week was moved out over here. 7-year tribulation. You worried about going through tribulation? I promise you, you ain't going through it. You're going out on the first buzzer. Out of here. Jews, church, come up hither. Jews, come on back. We're going to let y'all see if you learned anything. Start playing. But this is a little different team you're playing because they got a coach named the Antichrist. He's done started making people... This guy right here in this tribulation is going to start making sure before you fly on an airplane, you got to prove that on your iPhone, on your little iPhone, before you can go to a concert, before you can go into Walmart now, don't come in here unless you got... infecting people. You go in the airport before you get on the plane. You just, whoop. All right, Mr. Ballinger, you're good to go. Go in Kroger, get all my groceries. Whoop. All right, we'll take it out of your account. No money transpires. Let's just pretend for a second. Let's just pretend that we are $30 trillion in debt. Let's just pretend that we're borrowing money that we cannot pay back. Let's just pretend that we just voted today that to add another trillion on top of all of that. And we borrow all that money and another country owns us and is over us and controlling us behind the scenes. Let's just pretend. And in the tribulation, you'll be, yeah. God, come save our nation. Let me prove. If I hadn't proved it yet, I'm fixing to. Paul, Romans, tells us something in Romans chapter number 11, verse 25. Watch. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this. All that was hidden. Remember, I told you it was a mystery. Those guys didn't know about it. It don't mean they were dumb. It means that it just wasn't revealed to them. I got a quarter in my pocket, and I've had it in here the whole time church has been going on. That don't mean you're dumb. That just means I just now told you what was in my pocket. Paul has just now been told there's a church in the mix, okay? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to who? They're blind. Right now, they're in timeout, they're on the over here not playing, and they're blind. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Read the next verse. Okay? And so all Israel. Now that shall, let's go to English class for a second. Is that shall? Now, Paul's writing right here. All of Israel shall be. That's future, right? Is everybody with me? Shall be what? Boom. As it is written. When are they going to be saved? There shall come out a Zion, the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Verse 27. For this is my covenant unto who? Them. When I shall take away their sins. Israel's sins is Israel as a nation will be taken away there. That's part of the new covenant. Now, I can't get it much plainer than that. Let me put it this way. I'm saved. Hopefully you're saved. Your sins have been forgiven, blotted out, right? But we live in a country that has a lot of sins to deal with. God is judging us because of the nation's sin. You understand? Well, that's the way the nation of Israel is in that situation. All right, I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to go. This should be it, but I'm going to. You may be thinking, you may be asking, what part does the church play into this? We do play a part in it. But as far as the church, my sins are forgiven right now. Theirs won't be forgiven until here. You understand? But now we do play a part in this area because the Jews are going to get the new earth with a new temple built upon. Revelation 21 tells you all about that. But not only that, there's a new Jerusalem that takes place in there. That's where we live. I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the new city, New Jerusalem, comes down and sits on top of this new earth. Wild. Wild, man. Wouldn't it be something to see that New Jerusalem coming down and sitting down on top, and then to look at it from you know, somebody in the millennial, there they are, and they see us up in the city sitting on, hallelujah, coming to a city near you. But I know that right there is the second coming. Behold, I saw heaven open a white horse, and he that sat upon him, right there. But look, 7 years before that, I'm catching the first horn out of here. Going up here and right and coming back with him on a white horse. Now, I said all of that, you have to rightly divide your Bible. There is a difference in Israel and the church. I hope I've proved that. There is a difference in a covenant and a testament. I hope I've proved that. I hope I've proved that there is a difference in a national salvation for a nation and an individual salvation. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. What's Israel going to have to do as a nation? Repent, be converted, be baptized,